welcome to Hot Weekly.
I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And this is Haunt Weekly, a weekly podcast with haunted attraction, haunted entertainment community. Whether you're an actor, owner, or just plain aficionado, we aim to be a podcast for you. And we return again. Those astute listeners may notice the sound setup is different than our usual Whatchamadoogle. And if you've listened to us long enough, you know what that means. It means we're continuing the lengthy tradition of bringing on people that are smarter than us onto this podcast to help us understand various things about the industry. And we're doing that again this week. Yay. As we have Shelby Rodwell with us.
Hey, everyone.
She is the general manager. We're actually in her office right now. It's a pretty kick-ass office.
Thank you.
I'm being honest with you. But she is the general manager of both Pirates Legends of the Gulf Coast, a very cool pirate museum, and also the haunted Mayfield Manor, a year-round haunted attraction. I told you I was going to screw it up. Year-round haunted attraction here in Galveston, Texas, where we have spent the past 24 hours or so and have been partying way, way too hard for our own health. So, Shelby, how are you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. I have not been partying as much as you guys.
That is wise. So. That would be wise. You have responsibilities. This is our responsibility. We're doing this, and then we're going back and napping.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. I should apologize in advance for any of the cannonballs that you can hear being fired in the pirate exhibit right now. That'll be fun to try and edit around.
Oh, editing. You forgot what podcast this is. Oh, but yes. It's so great to have you here, and so great to be able to talk to. You're the second person we've talked to who runs a year-round haunt. Mm-hmm. The first person we talked to was Jim Moorfield of Raven's Grin Inn, way up there in northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, we're at pretty much the exact opposite side of the country,
right.
from a vertical standpoint.
Well, and not only that, but Jim isn't in a tourist area.
No.
Right.
So
So he's going to have some different challenges.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
So. And Jim Moorfield is also Jim Moorfield. I'm not sure how much anything he does applies to any other human being on the planet.
This is true.
I find that tends to be the same with every haunter I've ever met. It's a very interesting group of people we are.
Yes, it is.
With that note, tell us who you are and about your current job and make it 50 minutes long.
Yeah. Hey, don't test me. I can talk for a painful amount of time.
Yeah,
so.
Fair enough.
My name is Shelby. I have been at what is also known as Pirates and Ghosts, Haunted Mayfield Manor, and Pirates of the Gulf Coast for a little over 6 years now. Started just after I graduated high school and absolutely fell in love with it. So I now manage and am the boss lady.
Yay!
Yay!
Yay.
Yeah. Like we said, we are in your office currently.
Yes. Yeah, you can tell by the ridiculous amount of pirate pictures and skeleton pictures.
Yeah.
It fits. It does.
It works out quite well, actually. It does.
Yes, I like the hand-painted Scream pirate.
Thank you. Yes. A family friend of mine painted that for my birthday this past year. Yeah, love it.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay.
All right. So, how did you start haunting, and when did you get interested in haunted attractions?
It's actually really funny. So my, or I guess only really funny to me. So
Well, that was funny to everybody.
Yeah,
like that.
Exactly.
My mom and dad both hate horror movies. My dad appreciates them for what they are, but they don't like them. My mom doesn't like to see other people get hurt in movies.
Right.
And my dad just doesn't like to feel scared from a movie. So when I was about 8 or 9 and I went to my dad, I was like, I want to watch a horror movie.
Yeah.
And he, being incredibly supportive, bought all the classics like The Exorcist, The Omen, Scream, and a whole bunch of other ones. And I watched them until I couldn't sleep for a month. And after that, I kind of desensitized myself and started really, really getting into just Halloween and horror in general. It's always interested me how getting scared can make somebody so happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I guess for me, it's just always been kind of a stress reliever and something creative. The first like actual haunted house I went to, I can't even call it an actual haunted house. It was in like middle, or no, I was actually four. That's right. It was when we lived in Clear Lake. We went through one of our neighborhood haunted houses, mm-hmm. and it scared me so bad. And I thought I was being a wimp just because I was a kid. And then I saw my mom and dad and realized, no, they just really love to scare people. Yeah. It was in somebody's garage, and I remember just crying and bawling on the way out, and then going, "Can we go again?" And they're like, "No."
We've had that happen a few times in our garage. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah, it's, well, I mean, I like being scared. I don't know why. I get scared really easily. Uh-huh. I'm probably the easiest target in a haunted house ever, but I love it. It's so much fun, and I like making stuff to scare other people. Yeah. Which has been a really interesting journey.
In.
Oh, okay. Crystal's getting back into her phone. So,
yeah.
How long have you been with Haunted Mayfield Manor, and how did you get started here?
It's been almost 6.5 years now. Uh-huh. I had just graduated high school, and I was working at a restaurant down here that I really hated. don't get me wrong, they have amazing food, but I just hated being there. And I had applied here during that spring break, and I didn't hear anything back, so I was like, oh, it's not going to happen. Well, they ended up calling me like 3 months after I applied, and the boyfriend I was with at the time was like, don't you work there? You're going to make more money in a restaurant. And apparently I didn't really like him either. We ended up breaking up pretty soon after that.
Well, haunting serious stuff.
Oh, yeah. I was like, that's a red flag here, bud. Yeah. And it was after I had actually gone through with his family. A couple months before that, and I just fell in love with it. I thought it was such an interesting concept because the haunted house is unlike most haunted houses.
Yes,
it's not the blood, guts, and terror. It's fear, and I love history.
Yeah.
I'm an absolute nerd. So once I went through, I just absolutely fell in love and told them they couldn't get rid of me, and they haven't. I'm still here.
That's cool.
Yeah, I will. We went through the haunted. We went through both attractions. Yes,
yes we did.
I don't know why I'm talking like we only did one of them.
Yeah.
We did both yesterday. I will agree the haunted house is definitely more psychology-based,
yeah.
more actor and interactivity-based than it is boo gotchas and things
right.
like that.
Yeah, your actor working yesterday was awesome.
Oh, I'm so glad you all enjoyed it.
Yeah, he did a great job.
Yeah, we just... Something about being able to get into people's heads. And it's really interesting because everybody does it differently. And... They adjust it based on the group, so it is more interactive. Sometimes it can get really, really dark. Sometimes it's really campy and funny.
Right.
It really just depends on the mood the actors are in and the mood that the crowd is in. It's a lot of fun. That's what made me fall in love with it.
Oh, that seems like a challenge for actors then, to be able to read a crowd and go with it.
It really is. I've been lucky, especially this is a very small workforce on the island. And I've been really lucky to find the people that I have because they're all, don't get mad at me for saying this, they're all a little crazy in their own way.
Oh, I don't think anyone listening to this podcast is going to object to that.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't
more
think
so
you offended
if they hear
anyone.
It. Yeah. Yeah, no, they're all, we're all a little bit crazy in the haunt industry.
Yeah.
And I somehow found the crazy ones with talent. So, I lucked out on that.
Find the crazy ones with talent. Our next recruitment episode.
Exactly.
The idea just formed.
Yeah.
We don't even need to get Japes in on that one. Find the crazy ones with talent.
Yeah.
I mean, we really enjoyed going through yesterday. Like I said, it was much more psychological, much more actor-driven than you see with a lot of haunts. It's at least one actor. It was at least one actor on our walkthrough. I don't know if it's always one actor, but
We'll get
to that later. But he was very, very dedicated and very good and very committed to that role.
And I've never seen a vacuum cleaner used as a scare prop, but that was a lot of fun.
That's a couple of the scares we have in there to actually be like, oh, that's creepy. And a few of them we have to reset them where they jump and go, why did I jump at that? A vacuum cleaner? And it makes everybody laugh. And that way the severed eyeball wall after that kind of makes them more like, ugh.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, obviously we are cats.
Yes, yes.
What I learned.
Exactly. So what's the best thing about running this place year round?
Oh, that's, you know, I was reading over that last night and I was trying to pick just one thing and it is so hard.
Well, lay it on. We got about 40 minutes, but you got time. You don't worry about time.
I know. I think one of the biggest things for me is just the creative challenges. I love, I mean, I know you guys at home can't see this, but my office is littered with fog machines that are being torn apart yes. right now.
In fact, I accidentally kicked one a couple of times.
No, it's okay because they're being jerks. So yeah, at this point, that's all I know what to do with it. There's just so many things that I have to use creative problem solving. And that's always been, I'm a painter and that's always been one of my favorite types of things. I don't know, challenging myself. And there's constantly different challenges. As soon as I learn, because I do, I'm training one of my guys right now who's amazing to do the tech stuff. But right now I do all the tech stuff and I am not a tech guy. I'm not very good at it. So I have to, I have to learn as I go and create different solutions to things that probably an engineer wouldn't do. They'd probably, you know, fix it right.
Like anyone with knowledge or experience. Right. Exactly.
So I've just been learning everything as I go, but I've always been a very won't take no for an answer type of person. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I got into the management side of this. So that's probably my most favorite thing. I think the other thing is the people that we have coming in to visit us, our guests, because the way that I've started advertising and the way that we've started explaining to people has really drawn in the correct crowd. Some people come in here and they expect the blood and the guts and the really intensity, which I love in a haunted house. We're just different.
Right.
So now that we've kind of pinned down our demographic, we get so many people that just absolutely enjoy themselves and you meet really interesting people. For example.
How did you change your marketing to target that crowd?
It was really, really touch and go. And it's very, very small things I noticed. Rather than completely altering the way that we do like online ads, just changing one or two words in it is what really worked for me.
Yeah.
Because it's not too far off from the demographic we were marketing to. We were doing pretty generalized.
Right.
And then rather than saying year-round haunted house, I said haunted house that entices fear through interaction. So then people don't think blood, guts, gore, chasing, grabbing. They think, oh, this is going to be creepy and subtle and little things like that. And we had a couple of pictures online that had like... I'm on there. It was a promo for a zombie thing we did years ago. And that was still getting used when I took over. Mm-hmm. So I started using the black and white photos of our actors rather than the bloody ones. And it, just stuff like that.
So who would you say is the target demographic?
Honestly, it really depends. But the primary group of people that come in and really, really love it are usually ages 25 and up. We get younger ones that really, really enjoy it, but they don't... We've noticed, like, teenagers and early 20s are just more scared of the surprises and not as much getting into the theatrics and the acting behind it and the psychology. Seems to be 25 to about 50... the age group, which sounds pretty broad. Primarily on the younger side of that, like 25 to 35, but...
It still sounds older than your typical haunted house
goers. Yeah.
I think that's because a lot of, like... I mean, don't get me wrong, we get the way that I'm thinking of it is we get people of all ages that come in and scream and have a fun time, but the way that I'm thinking of it is the people that come in, identify the different psychological things that we've put in there and then later go online and write a review about that, you know, if that makes any sense.
It does.
It does. And it also makes sense because you are in a tourist area. So this is a destination for families and for people on vacation.
Definitely.
For older people too, that want to get away from cold weather.
It's going to be different than the local teen crowd, for example.
Exactly.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're not trying to get kids from the high school. You're trying to get the tourists coming through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And
so you've got to be more accessible to everybody.
Exactly.
And have something for everyone. As you
and that's one reason why the original owners kind of designed it the way that it is. That it was designed to be more interactive because we can cater to so many different audiences.
Right.
Of course, the actors prefer to go really intense and do whatever they want, but... they will adjust it if there's kids or somebody much older who just doesn't want to be scared as much, just wants to see the acting.
And, right.
Yeah. Gives us a lot of leeway. It's a lot of fun.
Huh. Got it.
So what has been the biggest challenge in running a year-round haunt?
Probably the same thing that has been my favorite part of it, figuring out how to fix everything. Stuff breaks constantly. Anybody who runs a haunted house knows that actors are like designed to break your set.
Crystal?
Whether or not they're trying to, it's,
yeah.
And it's almost a compliment because they're getting into their character, but there's constantly something breaking and I'm constantly having to figure out how to fix it. Which luckily my dad is like a savant when it comes to mechanics. He can just look at something and go, oh, it's the actuator solenoid radiator. I just made that up.
Yeah.
That was probably obvious to everybody. Whereas I go in and go, blue wire or red wire? Let's test them both. That's probably been my biggest challenge, but I've also learned quite a bit, and I'm kind of saying that as if I don't know what I'm doing anymore. I do know now. It just took years and years and years, and there's always something, and I'm sure it's like that with every haunt. There's always something that pops up that I'm like, oh, that's new.
Yeah.
How do I deal with that?
Well,
that's actually something I hadn't thought about, is that operating it on a daily basis instead of just 30 days or 60 days or
45 days
out of the year is a lot different on the wear and tear.
Well, and that, and it's all different on the maintenance schedule. A lot of, if something breaks, you know, 2 days to Halloween or whatever,
right,
you may just shunt that into the closet and come back to it on November 1st.
Right.
But in a year-round haunt, you don't have that luxury. It's got to be fixed. Because, you know,
ASAP.
You're open November 1st, you're open November 2nd, you're open.
Yeah.
Yep, and that's why there's so many fog machines torn apart in front of us right now.
I was thinking that. I believe they are thoroughly yeeted.
Yeah, that would be because it broke. So, there's... I'm working on the solution with that. But it is... There's a lot of wear and tear, especially during the summer. It's usually not super major.
Sorry, she's working on the fog solution. All right, just... I pawned to myself. sorry.
But especially during the summer.
Especially during the summer. Oh, my gosh. 1 year, our compressor just died in the middle of summer.
Oh.
In one of the busiest weeks. And I was like, well, guess who's not sleeping tonight? And it felt like I was trying to get ready for Halloween, but it was just the middle of summer, and... we had to replace a compressor, which isn't very hard. It just seems like with every slightly larger maintenance thing you have to do, it takes twice as long as you ever expect. You look at it, you go, oh, that's not going to be too hard. 5 hours later, how the hell is this hard?
Why is it 3 a.m.?
Yeah, there's three screws and one grounded wire. Why? Why is it so hard?
Yeah.
So definitely wear and tear. And I mean, I guess also, I'm sorry, I'm ranting now.
No.
I guess also getting that demographic that we want, that we get during the summer, all year.
Yeah.
Because it can be really difficult on a small island with the locals who either have been or write it off more as tourist attraction, which isn't necessarily a bad thing. I guess having the super, super fun groups at the time where people don't really want spooky, which I never understood.
No.
Like, people will come in and go, it's not Halloween. I'm like, you can hush.
Okay? Yeah.
Clearly you're not
here. It's always Halloween.
It is always Halloween. That is the best time of the year, and it's all year for us.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. You know, and that's one of the things I never thought of with talking about the wear and tear and those mm-hmm. issues. I never actually considered that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we're lucky we run a large-scale home haunt. Probably that, like some of that garage you were describing.
Yeah. Yeah.
That sounds like us.
Yes, it does.
Now, so, if I remember, I'm so sorry, y'all had one set up at the convention, didn't you?
No, they had one set up. I was recruited to work in it.
Okay, because yeah. that was, I don't know... me and my 6-foot-2 tall scare actor boyfriend went through, and he pushed me into somebody and then left. Which seems to be the general the general reaction anytime we yes. go in a haunted house. Now, granted, I do that to him too. It's not a one-way thing. We just sacrifice each other, but somebody grabbed my ankle and he goes, "Oh, sorry," and just kept running. I was like, "What the hell?" That's only two rooms.
One of our first experiences haunting, we had nothing but our front porch that year.
Right.
And had a drop panel. And I think we told the story on the podcast, but it's such a good story, it's coming again. Basically, one of the first groups to go to was boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife
yeah.
pairing. And the guy was this big, huge mountain of a man. He was big, burly dude. And his wife could not have been, I'd be lying if she was 5 foot. You know, she was nothing. And so that drop panel hit, we were doing an Alice in Wonderland thing, the Jabberwocky pops out. He literally, because she was standing to his left, Jabberwocky was to the right, he picks her up underneath the armpits, moves her over, sets her down, and runs out. Like, literally just picks her up and moves her there.
Oh, that's fantastic. I
love
it.
And then he runs out, and she comes out a few minutes later. I'm running in front of house, and... she's cussing him out something awful. And there's like kids in line. I'm like, ma'am, please.
Calm down. Oh, that's
you,
great.
You can destroy him over there. You know?
Oh, that's so funny. Yeah, this past October, we went to Scream Fest in Houston.
Mm-hmm.
Really cool place. I really enjoyed it. And at the end, or at some point in the haunt, I'm not going to spoil it. there was a person with a certain loud lawn... equipment.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. and he came at us and he saw my boyfriend just immediately, because you know he's 6'2", really mm-hmm. noticeable,
yeah.
just immediately like jump, and he was like, "Oh well, of course I'm gonna, you know,
Target.
Go
yeah,
for
yeah.
him." And it was almost like a comedy. Like there was this moment of realization from everybody what was happening,
uh-huh.
and the actor like stopped, looked at him, and my boyfriend took off, and then he looked at us, which was like me and a few of my girlfriends, and goes. And then took after my boyfriend. Like, he did the whole thing.
Play the Benny Hill theme.
Yeah, it was so funny. And I saw my boyfriend, like, turning around going, no, and taking off. And we're all just sitting there like, oh, that's okay. That's fine. We're strong, independent women, so it is okay. But, oh, my gosh. He gets a little annoyed.
I've always said that the way I will die
well, you know.
Is by a chainsaw, because I've been around so many gimmick chainsaws
yeah.
that I'm going to get around a non-gimmicked one and forget
just be
it.
Too trusting. Yeah.
A little too trusting. Yeah. And that's how I'm going to lose a hand or a foot. Then I'll come work in the pirate exhibit.
See, perfect. Perfect.
It'll be great. It'll work out well. So what were some of the surprises with taking a year-round haunt on? Talk about maintenance. Were there any other big surprises?
This, I guess, would be a surprise based on what you believe.
Yeah.
This place is super haunted. And I know that's not something you expect to hear out of somebody talking about surprises in a haunted house, but I'd have to come in and, fix something. And one of the doors would just open and slam and random stuff like that. I'm like, there's no way this is an actually haunted house. There's no way in the world. Uh-huh. And I firmly believe it is. So that probably makes me sound absolutely insane. But that was a massive surprise to me. We have real ghosts in the haunted house. And then probably just the sheer amount of time that I spend... like either thinking about this place or working here. And I'm not complaining. I absolutely love it. I've come to terms with the fact that mm-hmm. I am addicted to constantly doing something. And yeah. that just happens to fall at work.
Mm-hmm.
So there's so much that I had to consider that I have to consider daily that I did not ever expect. Which I love. I mean,
Avon calling.
Good job ruining the podcast, Haunted Mayfield Manor.
All right.
All from
Antique.
Sorry about that.
That was not professional of me, but
I can't actually edit that out.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's literally I wake up at night and first I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'll go, oh wait, did I talk to so and so about possibly taking this shift and working on his makeup or showing this person this new prop that they can use? It's just,
yeah.
I'm constantly thinking about this place, and how we can do different little improvements,
yeah.
and how we can polish it up a little bit more. We're slowly, you know, probably every couple of months doing something, adding something, whether it's new. We just got, like a year ago, some Gamtron color pianos that I'm just having so much fun with.
Yeah. So you mentioned the ghost here. What's the history of the manor?
So,
And how does it relate to the story of it?
Okay, so a lot of horror movies do the whole, you know, based on true story, and in reality, it's inspired by.
Yeah.
Loosely inspired
right.
by. Right. Yeah, exactly. It walked through the same room as
yeah,
the
exactly.
story at some point.
It's like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and Ed Gein, how I always get the, did you know that that's about Ed Gein? I'm like, you stop there.
Yeah, it's about as, you know, real as LaCroix having real flavor.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Feels like there's a screaming in the next room. So the building that we're in, there's many buildings down the Strand that were used for this, but our building was one of a few that was used to process, store, and identify dead bodies after the hurricane in 1900. Mm-hmm. Which, for those who are listening that don't know, it was a massive hurricane that hit Galveston before we had the seawall, before any protection, and it killed a minimum of 6,000 residents.
Mm-hmm.
More than likely, the death count was 8,000 and above. So they use the different buildings on the Strand. Our building, at the time, the harbor used to touch the back of this building. We are a sail-making shop, I believe. So tall ships could sail in, and the
I did not realize the harbor, because we're on... for those who don't know the geography of Galveston, and that may be like a lot of people listening to this, it's an island in Galveston Bay, and it's basically like a barrier island. It's a lengthy island that stretches for about 35 miles or so. It's a big island, but you have harbor side and you have gulf side of it. That's how I think of it, and that's what I've had to learn to navigate the time I've been here. And
it's
this is on the harbor side. This is
the
side facing Houston, basically.
Yes. That's a really good way to describe it. I am bad at giving directions.
All right, no directions from Shelby. Got it. Nobody's ever lied about that.
Right? Usually undersell how bad they are. This building stored dead bodies afterwards.
Yeah.
A few thousand, in fact. Which, again, is great thing about here when you're here by yourself.
Yeah.
And there was a man that came in here. We did adjust his name out of some type, you know, to be somewhat tasteful.
Right.
But there was a man that came in here to help with the dead. All the islanders had to help process and identify the dead. And it was really hard.
Well, not all of them. Some of them were the dead.
Well, this is true. Most of them were. He came in and he talked about finding the dead bodies of his mom, dad, and fiance, which it's so tragic to think about, because you would think like, oh my God, that must have been horrific for him. But that's what almost every islander had to face.
Yeah.
Like, Isaac Klein found the body of his wife, Cora, who was 9 months pregnant a couple weeks after the storm. I can't imagine that. The story of the haunted house is our own interpretation of how that man that was in this building, how we would have reacted if we were him. The whole idea is, you know, not to give too much away, but how he laughs throughout the script and throughout the haunt.
Yeah.
That's our idea. I can't say our idea. Chris Clark, the amazing man who took the history and turned it into what we know as Haunted Mayfield Manor today, had the idea that he's snapping in and out of reality, and he kind of knows he's going crazy, because how could you not? I feel like his... Oh my gosh!
You're popular! It's alright.
It's okay. Why are people calling yeah, no, it's only 9. Don't call yet. Where was I?
Talking about snapping in and out of reality.
Snapping in and out of reality. Yeah, see? Like, I just did. Yeah, so he, Chris Clark, he's the original doctor here. He still works here. He's incredible. He came up with, he looked at the history of it and thought, okay, how would anybody react in that situation? And how can we apply it to, like, a black and white horror movie style of scare?
Right.
And thus, Dr. Mayfield, as we know him, was born.
Huh.
Yeah.
That's very interesting. I honestly did not know that it was historically accurate.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a lot of haunt... I mean, one of the things we do with our haunt is we take elements in New Orleans history, which, I mean, mm-hmm. New Orleans history is so ripe for this.
Extensive. Oh, my gosh.
You can literally throw a dartboard at a calendar, a historic calendar, and pick a time frame
that you can
pull something from. And we create stories based upon things mm-hmm. that happen in history. We've talked about, like, various storms that have hit the city. We've talked mm-hmm. about plagues that have hit the city.
Yeah.
We've talked about, in fact, we found out at one point that there was New Orleans was a center for psychiatric care. It was a center for mm-hmm. the evolution of psychiatry
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
during a very messed up time for psychiatry.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of weird history in New Orleans there
yeah.
that you can pull from. And so I like the idea of being able to pull from the history of where you're at.
Absolutely.
To add, you know, that little touch of kayfabe, that little touch of history,
yeah.
that little touch of realism.
Absolutely. And I'm a massive fan of history. I'm going back to school.
Really? You run a pirate museum.
Right? It wasn't that noticeable. I'm going back to school for anthropology this fall, actually. And one of the things that really drew me in here is the people that died in the storm, they don't get talked about much. And the people who survived, even less.
Right.
And even though there are some really amazing places, like the theater down on 21st Street that does talk about the tragedy, for the most part, I think because Galveston has become such a tourist destination, that's not quite something that is as advertised.
Right.
And it's what made us. It's what
right.
directly set us on the path for what we are. And Houston.
Yeah.
So
because Houston was never meant to be the big city.
No.
People forget.
Yeah, and it was because of the great storm they saw an opportunity because the channel here was down. And really smart businessman up there, they opened the channel of Houston. And I love... Maybe I'm a little sadistic, I guess, because the thought train I just had in my head was that I love it when people are coming in having a great vacation and I get to remind them, wait, thousands of people died here. I'm just sad for a minute.
Pause. You reflect.
You look what
think
you've
about
done.
This. Yeah.
It's all fun and games until a storm hits.
Oh, that's a little morbid. That's okay. That's my whole life.
I think you're among good company here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I just like reminding people of what this island has gone through in order for them to be having a good vacation. Not trying to shame them into...
Yeah.
Yeah, never mind. I
By
can't
all
talk
means,
right
go to
morning.
The beer garden next door.
Yeah,
you
right?
really should. It's a very cool place.
It really is. Oh, my gosh. I've spent way too much money there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, really is good.
It's
so, I'm not
so
kidding.
Good. I'm so happy they moved next door.
Yeah.
We used to have Fuddruckers, but...
Get the... Really?
Yeah.
This is better.
So much. Yeah.
Get the brats. It's on Hawaiian rolls. They're
oh
awesome.
Oh my gosh, that's a new thing they just started doing.
Oh
and
god, it's so good.
It's so fantastic. They're Gouda brat. It's stupid good.
Anything. You'll be fine.
Oh, yeah.
They have poutine for our Canadian friends. Listen, they have actual poutine with cheese curds.
Mm. Yeah. And 50-plus beers.
And
the pirate side of me loves that.
Yeah.
Obviously. No, it's a great place, as is
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, there's not a lot of year-round haunted attractions,
right.
obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there should be more? And if so, how do we go about getting them?
Well, my initial, since I've started learning how to take over the marketing, my initial response is, no, we want to corner the market. but the haunt lover in me... Absolutely. I think there's nothing wrong with fear. Mm-hmm. And I think people, like, the people are like, no, I'm too scared, I can't do it. They don't appreciate it as much as, you know, I guess we all would.
Right.
I think a healthy dose of fear is really, really good for the psyche.
Yeah.
Either that or mine is just that messed up.
Our sociologist friend Margie Kerr would agree.
Yeah. Yes. I mean, for me, it's a stress reliever. It's something fun. It can be used as a team building event. It can mm-hmm. create bonds amongst the people. It's something that is unique to the community. I absolutely think that there should be more. I'm not really sure how you'd go. I don't know if going about creating more year-round haunted houses would start at the haunters or start at the public.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's really
would
good.
Would it be the general public wanting more haunting, or would it be our responsibility to show people why they want to be scared year-round?
Yeah.
And the places where we have found year-round haunts have been places like Galveston and San Antonio, mm-hmm. typically, where you mm-hmm. have tourist destinations where you constantly
right.
have a new influx
right.
of people.
Definitely.
Elsewhere in the country where it's a little more static
right.
and you have the local population to work with and not much else,
yeah.
it's totally seasonal.
Yeah.
It's that mid-September through early November
right.
season.
Yeah.
And nothing else.
That's something I thought was interesting about Dark Hour in Plano,
mm-hmm.
That they are technically year-round, but it's for, like, chunks, like, season. It's
yeah.
still seasonal.
Right.
But that was interesting to
yeah.
me because it's still technically year-round.
And we are seeing more of that. We're seeing haunts open, like we've been talking about this on the podcast. They'll do a Valentine's Day thing.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
then a couple months or a month or two later, it'll be the St. Patrick's
mm-hmm.
thing. And then after that, they'll do a Summerween or whatever.
Yeah, we do a Christmas thing.
Yeah.
Right before Christmas. It's so funny. It's ridiculous.
Which actually leads into the next question, which was, how is this place different on and off season?
Okay, so we have two different on seasons.
Yeah,
honestly.
No, and I realized exactly what I said when I said it.
It's, well, I mean, our Halloween on season is still off season for us. It's still nowhere near as busy as it is during summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just because at that point it's the local crowd.
Yeah.
And we have Lone Star Rally down here, which this year starts on Halloween. For those who don't know, that's the nation's largest biker rally here on Strand. And they started on Halloween this year. So that's an interesting challenge.
Yeah.
I'm not too excited about. But yeah, our off season gets boring.
Yeah.
It gets really boring during the day, but then we get to do all the fun, creative stuff behind the scenes in the haunt. Because during summer, it's more about maintenance for me. During
right.
off season, it's more about creativity and coming up with new ideas.
Yeah, less yeah. stuff breaking, more stuff being built. And...
exactly.
Yeah.
You have a lot of faith there in me. I break stuff as I build it.
Well,
not
yes.
purposely.
Yeah. That was assumed.
That's,
right.
That's testing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Our owner too, Jay, he's absolutely insane. It's hard. He's more of a mentor than a boss. It's really, anyways, he'll come down a couple of times a year and we'll sit back there and just, and tinker with things and put in new scares and adjust the old ones. But again, during summer, it's just kind of just go.
Right.
And one of the things I found interesting going through it is compared to other haunts, like mm-hmm. Large-scale haunts and so forth, you're working with very tight space restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
It's, from a square foot standpoint, it's not big.
Right.
So you lean on that interactivity. You lean on
absolutely.
That to draw out the walkthrough time some
right.
and give that bigger experience.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Our ultimate goal is that from the time that people walk into the shop, they are entertained in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's overhearing the pirate saying a really, really corny joke to a kid,
mm-hmm.
or listening to the actor give his spiel in the lobby, or you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big goal in the haunted house, that the videos in the beginning and then the first room are as packed full of entertainment and interaction with the actor as we can get. What sets the tone, because otherwise, even though we have some pretty creepy props in there, otherwise it would just be walking through a slightly animated haunted house, and that's not as much fun.
By the way, last week, actually, we did the gift shop episode, Pumman, staffing a gift shop and so forth. They also would now be one of my top gift shops.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
After coming in, we did not know about it then, so we couldn't put it on the list. I'm retroactively adding them to the list of haunted attractions to do good gift shops.
Yes.
I thank you.
And do you ever have more than one actor working at a time?
Yes. It kind of depends on the time of year. During Halloween, people want more intensity. They want more blood. They want more ridiculousness. Mm-hmm. So we'll add anywhere from 5 to 8 extra actors, just kind of out there.
Wow.
I'm trying to think of where that many people would fit.
See, we have our surprises.
Exactly.
During this time of year, though, that's one of the problems with the year-round haunted house, is you have to think cost-effective as well.
Right.
So it's better for not only the business, but our actors to have one actor. That way they can get more hours. We can afford to be open year round, and you know, it's a business, so we can afford to be year round while still making a profit,
right,
and being able to pay our employees. Backtracking to the question about how to get year round haunted houses, I think you'd see probably more like ours.
Yeah.
More of the smaller, right, 1 to 2 actor per,
which is really interesting, because that's Leonard Pickle. I don't know if you're familiar with him. Of course you are. I don't know why.
The one who, that was his haunt originally.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
That makes sense.
And he's designed the pirate side.
Very cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, Leonard Pickle talked about the haunt he ran. Actually, this was a weird coincidence in my life.
Mm-hmm.
He ran and operated and was the actor in a haunt in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which was the first, I guess you would say, commercial haunted attraction I went to. I'd done like the county fairs and so forth.
Right.
I'd done that before. This was the first truly fully commercial for-profit haunt I'd attended.
Right.
When I was, I think, 16 or so, I went to that. And I remember it being very similar. It was a historic district on Myrtle Beach. So it was a small building.
Mm-hmm.
And he created it as a giant loop. So you went in one side. It was like you think of like a movie theater where you had like the double door. Go in one side, come out the other.
Yeah.
And it was a big loop. And he was basically running up and down the middle of the loop operating the scares.
That's exactly how he designed this one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He goes back to his well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's very, very talented. We've added just a little bit here and there, but I mean, there's a lot of that was him. The little things we've added are like details.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's really, really talented at what he does, because he set up the pirate side, designed it, which it looks like you're on deck of a pirate ship.
Yes, it does.
It's kind of like
I want to come back to the pirate museum. We got a little bit of time, not too much, but I do want to hit that out because it is really, really cool. Actually, now's a good time to talk about. Looking at the question list, now is actually the perfect time.
Yeah, exactly.
So the museum, did it come after the haunt or at the same time as the haunt? How did that get started?
It did come after, I believe, like about 6 months.
Okay. Not much after.
Yeah, and I think part of that is because the haunt, it's a temporary setup at a permanent location.
Mm.
So it was much easier for them to set it up than it would have been for the pirate side.
Yeah.
It's panel construction.
Exactly. And
what you expect.
Right. And we've made it permanent.
Right.
But the initial setup would have been just like any other haunted house. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the pirate side took a little bit more, just a smidge, like building a boat.
Indoors.
Yeah.
On land.
Yeah, exactly. Funny thing, actually, there are a couple of mannequins in there when you first walk in. Creep kids out all the time. Creep me out all the time. I'm used to
it. Lafitte and his deckhand.
Yeah, they're creepy, right? Turns out the previous owners, and I wish I could remember what distributor exactly, but oh gosh, I'm about to start sneezing. Don't do it. She got them through a haunted house website. So they look super sunken in and really worn down and old and kind of creepy. And we'll have kids come in and just scream. And we're like,
No, you push the numbers in your little phone thing.
Yeah, fine. It's fine. It's only going to jump out of the glass and grab you. You're fine.
Yeah, exactly.
Disclaimer, doesn't actually do that.
Does not actually.
Yes.
No, it is a purely educational exhibit.
Yeah, nothing scary on the pirate side. Except for true history of bloodthirsty murderous thieves.
But it was interesting for me to come here because we're from New Orleans, and of course we get Lafitte's history.
Absolutely, yeah.
But Lafitte's history in New Orleans basically stops after the Battle of New Orleans when, of course, he gets kicked out.
Right. That's when he came to Galveston. Showed up here in around 1817. And the whole time he was trying to get pardons from Washington. He was constantly going back and forth. One reason he got over here is because there was embargo acts set on the coast specifically targeting slave trade. So he actually smuggled slaves through Galveston and made a lot of money. He ended up making like $30 million a year at the height of it.
Yeah, everyone talks about Lafitte the pirate, but not Lafitte the businessman.
Yeah, his
ethics were horrible. But
His ethics were objectively horrible. Yeah, no, terrible.
But really what separated him from other pirates was the business side.
Yeah, he definitely operated it more like a business, and he tried to convince everybody that he was a privateer, which is just a legally contracted pirate from a country against another country.
Yes, right.
But he made a fake letter of marque, which is that document. From a fake country. So him and his brother ran their piracy, their haven, as a business. I mean, he had something like 200 structures down on the island, 800 to 1,000 settlers at the height of it. I don't know if that counts any of the Native Americans that were living down here. I highly doubt it, but they didn't get along too well.
Well, and it's always interesting to go to actual Lafitte's blacksmith shop on Bourbon Street.
Yeah, I
and
got to do that
they
recently.
Have a, they have pirate flags hanging, and we're like, Lafitte would not be happy about this.
No, he did not want people to know he was a pirate. He wanted to outlive the Golden Age of piracy, and he wanted to create it as a legitimate business.
The Golden Age of piracy was only like 40 years.
Yeah.
I mean, basically, I've been alive almost as long as the Golden Age of piracy was.
Exactly, and a lot of those pirates only lived.
Oh, well, God.
They were only pirates. Like, Blackbeard was only pirate 2.5 years.
Yeah, he packed a lot into those years.
He really did. Today, he'd be known as a sociopath.
And it's always weird for me, because even though I love Calico Jack and I love his flag, it's kind of weird to me that he got as famous as he did, because he was quite a trash pirate.
He was! I was just talking to somebody about that.
He was quite trash.
It really surprised me a while back. I was looking into him a little bit more. I was looking into Charles Vane, and it turns out that Calico Jack started with Charles Vane, and then they voted Charles Vane off the ship and Calico Jack took over. That really, really surprised me. I don't know why. I don't know why I never expected them. I guess because from what I've read, they seem to have pretty different personalities. I don't know. Pirates are just they're such an interesting topic to me. I mean, a lot of them were bad people, but the majority of them were rebelling against oppression and what they considered to be a tyrannical government. So they're just trying to have freedom. And, you know, they may not have done great things in pursuit of that, not condoning piracy in the least, but it's interesting to know their reasons.
Yeah,
and it is. And to understand their methodology and how they actually worked.
Yeah.
You understand they weren't bloodthirsty, murderous monsters. In fact, they wanted to take ships and crews alive. That was the easiest and bestest way to do it.
There was only a couple that were... Blackbeard was legitimately terrible, but he was one of the very few... Charles Vane was pretty brutal, but he wasn't just out for blood. He just would be brutal if need be.
Yeah,
it was interesting people.
Yeah, most of the time, pirates, it was very similar to Genghis Khan in that if you capitulate, if you surrender, we're going to keep you alive. We're going to make sure you're okay. But if you fight us, well, you know, we have two or three times the people than you do because that's poor pirates. And we're literally, all we are transporting is... humans and weapons.
Exactly. Yeah, they, God, they lived such a disgusting life.
Yes, they did.
Oh, my God. The more you read about it, it is just horrifyingly disgusting. God, the amount of, like, rampant syphilis is just unbelievable.
The scurvy.
Yeah. Oh, God. Scurvy is kind of played to a... almost as a joke in the movies.
Yeah, no,
it was genuinely horrific.
Yeah.
You were losing body parts.
Yeah, toward the absolutely. End of that. And internal bleeding and anemia. Blah, it was so bad in the gangrene.
Parts you would atrophy with scurvy. Oh,
yeah. Definitely.
And scurvy's no joke, man. Take your vitamin C pills.
Yeah,
kids.
Seriously.
Eat your oranges, kids.
Oh, yeah. Oh, they were nasty, nasty. Which wasn't entirely their fault.
They didn't fully know, and they didn't have access to it, because the other thing about pirates is that they would often be at sea. Even though they would be relatively close to port, they had to hang out at sea for months and months at a time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it's such an interesting part of history for me. I have a office decked out in pirate regalia now.
Very cool.
I've got a Blackbeard flag, a Calico Jack flag. I've got a Captain Morgan flag.
Very cool.
Somewhere. Got all these awesome flags. I've got, like I said, tons of pirate regalia. I love it, but I also acknowledge it's like such a tiny slice of history.
It is.
That has been romanticized by
absolutely.
Film.
Absolutely.
And so,
in reality, a lot of those pirates, they were fighting for freedom.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I mean, I understand. I do think that was a problem that the general public needed to deal with, because they were not great.
No.
They were quite the nuisance. But they were, in their minds, they were fighting for freedom.
Well, I mean, but they were also very democratic. They were egalitarian.
Incredibly.
They were at a time where women's rights were non-existent.
They were some
had
of the
stronger equality ideas among both people of color and women.
Absolutely. Yeah. I don't know if you've ever heard this before either, but some ships allowed gay marriage on their ship, and they could have like life insurance policies through the... It was just... It sounds so incredibly advanced for what... For the time that they
were pirate ships had better insurance policies than haunted attractions. Think about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Think about that for a minute.
That is painfully true. they were... I was explaining that to somebody else, like, in a time where... You had to be a white man to have any type of rights.
Yeah.
Everybody of all different color and age, and occasionally women. It was still kind of dangerous to be a woman around pirates.
Yeah, it was.
But they were just so much more open and so
honestly,
much more
for women pirates, you typically go to China and the South Asian Sea.
Oh my
those.
Gosh, Miss Ching is my favorite.
Yeah. She was badass.
She
Bamf.
Was. Yes. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, what? That's how incredible she is. I can't even talk.
I can't even say a 3-letter word.
Oh my gosh, she was insane.
A 4-letter word in that case.
Yeah.
But yeah, she was crazy, and it was awesome, because she ran the largest, not just the largest pirate fleet, but the largest fleet.
It was massive.
Full stop
fleet. It was anywhere from like 50,000 to 70,000 men under her control.
Yeah.
As a woman in China in the 1800s.
Yeah.
How the hell? Oh my gosh.
To give you an idea how many people that is, our neighborhood in New Orleans, which occupies about a fifth of the city, has about the same number of people as she had in her fleet. If you are a fan of Battlestar Galactica, humanity had as many people that survived the Cylon attack as she had in her fleet.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yeah. In Galveston, our population is around 60,000.
Yeah. Yeah. That's also the same.
So 50,400.
Yeah.
I just looked it up for you.
Yeah. See, I've seen 50,000 more than any other number.
Yeah.
She just, complete badass, and bullied the Chinese government into letting her retire as a woman in China in the 1800s.
Yeah, I just want to go on a farm and hang out.
God, I'm getting really tired of this, can I get some cows?
Can I get some land?
They're just like, yes, please, stop.
Well, they tried to have a Blackbeard, and he kept going back.
Blackbeard was kind of a... I don't know what words I can and can't use.
We have the explicit tag, but just in case.
Yeah, we cuss all the time.
He was a total dick. But he was very good at marketing.
Really branded himself. I mean,
excellent branding.
Oh my gosh, he was only a pirate for 2.5 years, and he is still, you ask somebody what their favorite pirate is, it's either Jack Sparrow, which drives me insane. He wasn't a real pirate. Or Blackbeard.
Yeah.
Every single time.
Well, I always have to say Calico Jack, because he had two women, and that's my life.
Yeah, no, he's absolutely amazing.
And once again, good at branding. Very good at branding.
Absolutely. Yeah, his whole gimmick with the calico prints. And I don't even know if that was a purposeful gimmick.
I don't think it was. I didn't read anywhere that he was doing it on purpose. It was just, he was a fanciful, he was a gentleman of wealth before he was putting it into piracy.
Plus, that's a power move. Yeah. You know, if you're the captain to dress... it's just like in a... Yeah. This is what I always tell on tours. It's just like in a regular old business office. You can tell I don't work in one, the way I just described that, where it's business casual and then the CEO comes in a full suit. It's kind of like a power move.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
So we've got a few minutes left.
Yeah, a few minutes left. Very few.
Yeah.
We don't really have a set stop time, so...
No. Well, but we do, because she's got to open.
Yeah.
Okay, so... have there been any specific challenges, or how have you found it being a woman in haunting, in the haunted community?
I have been so excited for that question.
Okay.
So excited. Stop me when I go on a long rant.
It's all right.
So in the actual community, dealing with other haunters, I have, if you could almost forget about your gender. It's just so open and accepting, you know. Oh, you love haunting? So do I. We're friends now. It's just so open and loving. It's the public that I've noticed. I get a lot of, is your boss in today?
And that's not just being a woman, it's being a young woman.
Exactly. Too. I think that might be a little bit more my age, because I'm only 23. I'm pretty...
Shut up. I hate you now.
I'm pretty...
Interview's over. We're out of here.
Yeah, I didn't need to know that.
I'm pretty young to be running a business, so I think that has some to do with it. But
you're popular. We'll leave those in just to see how popular. Everyone can see how popular this
haunt. Yeah, I'll just hide that over here where it's a little quieter. I don't want the... I think it's the same number. I don't want them to see that I've rejected them twice.
Okay.
This is fun.
This is fun.
There is a question that I've gotten here at the haunt to my face that just made me... I was more mad, I think, I've ever been at a customer. He was asking me, is it scary? And the first thing I want to say is, what the hell do you want me to say to that? Yes, it's a haunted house. What do you want from me?
Yeah.
My answer when we get that is usually, hope so.
Yeah.
Try real hard.
Depending on the group, I'll say, no, not at all. You know, it's comfortable chairs, reasonably priced shoes, and nothing too frightening. But then he asked me, can a woman handle it?
Oh.
And I just got hot saying it out loud. I was so upset. And I seem to get reactions like that from the public more than... I mean, when I read that question, I thought about it hard, and I was like, there's no challenges that I've faced personally yet.
Right.
With the general haunt community. I've seen a lot of women who also run haunted houses, mm-hmm. or who are in, you know, upper management with the big haunted houses.
Right.
But it just seems to be the general public, doesn't expect a woman to be the boss, and even less so a young woman.
Mm-hmm.
And there seems to be this idea that women can't handle the scares. And I'm like, no, you got a woman coming up with them, okay?
Yeah.
To which I respond, you know, women, you know, deal with blood and guts more often than
people. Yeah.
Just throwing that one out. I don't know how to phrase that one.
That's the first thing I thought of. I was like, we give birth. We can handle a haunted house.
We have uteruses. Why? We deal with everything that comes with that.
Yeah, it made me so mad. And that was right after I had experienced a pretty derogatory thing. I don't think it was intentionally derogatory, but it was pretty,
that's rarely intentionally derogatory.
Yeah, but it had me mad. That was just a couple of days before that guy asked, can a woman handle it? And I was just like, ooh, if you don't get out in 5 seconds, I'm going to lose my job over how loud I'm going to scream. I just told him that, women are very strong, so despite what you think, women can handle it.
Good.
Yeah.
Well handled from a diplomatic.
Yeah. I was like, probably don't get a bad review. He was like, oh, well, okay, then I'll go talk to my wife. I'm like, oh, so you have to go ask her permission, even though she may not be strong enough to handle it. Asshole.
Yeah, that I've not heard that one. I've not been asked that one in the front of Q, but...
Yeah, maybe it was just that one guy. I've had other, like, I don't know, little things. It's a little different for me because I do have the pirate side as well. So yeah,
right.
I'm in the haunt industry, but I'm also, like... I don't know. It's weird. I see a lot of fear shaming towards young men from their fathers. And it really, they always tell them, you know, oh, you're acting like a little girl.
Yeah.
And I know that's like something that a lot of people don't find that offensive. And it's not that I'm super offended by it, but it's more like, hey, why are you shaming your son for being scared? He's having fun.
Yeah, like he's.
That's
why you're here.
Yeah, that's exactly. You go into a haunted house to scream and laugh and act a fool, and that's what he's doing. It has nothing to do with whether or not he's brave, and certainly whether you're a man or a woman has nothing to do with whether or not you're brave.
No.
Yeah.
So that I just cringe a little bit. And just
That's interesting. Yeah. I'd not heard or thought about that. It makes a lot of sense.
I get that quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, and we do see that some with in the line with people.
Yeah, quit being a little girl. Quit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Your sister's taking it better than you.
That one. Your little sister's doing better.
Your little sister's.
Yeah.
Your little sister's okay. What's your problem?
Yeah.
It's a personality trait. It's not. It has nothing to do with.
Yeah.
Well, and also we get all ages. And one thing I note is that like little kids. They just have a sense of wonder about everything.
Yeah, they do, definitely.
They're not going to get super scared by anything.
Yeah.
And it's when they get a little bit older and they understand the fears and dangers, they have a little more of that cognizance, that now they're scared and crying.
Yeah.
And then they get older from that and they understand this is it. They can get that. So there's like this age, and it's like 5 to 7 or so, or I'd say 4 to 7 or so, where kids are old enough to be afraid of things, but not necessarily old enough to understand what they're doing in the haunted house.
Exactly. Well, they're not, because especially with ours, it's playing on fears that only an older group would understand. And I'm saying like 12 and up would get a little bit better, whereas a 5 or 6 year old is just going to be like, ooh, this guy's kind of spooky. I don't know what he's saying, but it's really creepy.
Yeah, 10-year-olds aren't going to get the nuance of mental breakdowns.
Exactly. Yeah. Once you start getting into that 12-year-old age, you know.
Teenagers probably get it pretty good.
Yeah,
they probably
had
a few of their own by that point.
Yeah, definitely.
At 14, you should have had 2 mental breakdowns.
Only 2?
Only 2.
Damn it.
At least. That's the minimum.
One little thing to tack on to the question about challenges of being a woman. This has nothing to do with me. It just has to do with something that, like, kind of along the same lines of the boys going, oh, don't be such a little girl.
Yeah.
There was this one father, and I hope he's listening to this somehow in some weird alternate reality. He can hear this and just know how mad he made
me. We will mail a copy to him.
Yeah, right? We have a treasure box for the kids who finished the scavenger hunt, and at the time we had like some jelly bracelets for anybody who's really little who would probably eat a jewel.
Right.
And he picked out a pink one and he put it on, and his dad turned around and saw it. He goes, you know the rule, I have to hit you every time you wear pink. And I was like, but it's just red and white mixed together. It's just a lighter red. And his son was like, yeah, I know. And he punched him in the arm. It wasn't like, obviously he wasn't like abusing his child physically.
Yeah, physically.
I would call that some type of emotional manipulation. That was really crappy. And then he was, you know, oh, don't be such a little girl. Don't be so scared. Why are you wearing pink? I have to hit you for that. That's a girl color. And I'm sitting there watching this. And I'm like, not only is this like, what? Why?
Interesting fact, in some languages, they don't even make the distinction between red and pink. There's no word for pink.
Because it's almost the same color. One's just darker.
It's just light red. It's considered a lightish red, which is a joke in the Red versus Blue series. Why she's laughing. I know why you're laughing. But no, in many languages, there's actually no distinction between the two.
Yeah.
You just say, like, we say blue and light blue. It's red and light red.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Though blue and light brew are very different. Blue, light brew would definitely be a
you
very
need
different.
A beer.
I need some more alcohol, apparently.
Hey, Stu Garden. I'm just saying.
But no, Yeah, so, no, that's... Well, I think that's all the time we have. This has been wonderful and enlightening.
Yeah,
I appreciate you making the time for us and coming to work early.
Yeah.
My God.
Oh, don't worry. I still woke up a little bit late. Sorry.
It's okay. We got it. We got through it, and you did great, and it all worked out.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, thank you guys so much for reaching out. It's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot of fun having you. We learned a lot today.
Yeah.
Well... To those of you listening, whenever you are listening to this, probably on Monday, but whenever you're listening to this, thank you very much for joining us for the past hour. Mm-hmm. This has been episode 191 of Home. I don't remember the episode number of Home Weekly, as we are here talking about the haunted Mayfield Manor in Galveston, Texas. We're here with Shelby. It's been a wonderful, wonderful time. You can find us at hauntweekly.com or Haunt Weekly on Twitter, Haunt Weekly on Facebook, youtube.com/hauntweekly is our YouTube channel. All previous episodes are uploaded there for easy perusal. This will actually go into the interviews playlist. So if you just want the episodes where we talk to people that are smarter than us, that is where you go. It's easy peasy. And also, like I said, you can find us at any place that podcasts are distributed. They haven't kicked us out yet. I don't know why. There are clearly no standards, is what I've learned after doing 191 episodes of this. Until next time, though, I'm Jonathan.
I'm Crystal.
And we'll see you next week with more Haunted Attraction. I have no idea what we're doing next week. So we'll see you next time. Can't announce the plan. You'll find out when we do. See you then.